In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As I mentioned before, that we read the story of the Samaritan woman three times during the year. The first time during the Great Lent, the fourth Sunday of the Great Lent. And today is the third Sunday of the Joyful 50 Days. And we read it on the day of Pentecost during the prayer of worship, Salat Sagda, in the third hour. And of course, the church had many good reasons for such a big story to be read three times a year, to teach us how to come forward and repent, confess our sins, how to enjoy repentance and when we encounter God and be with God, and how to be lifted up during the Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit will work in us and make us good preacher and go preach and spread the word of God. And the whole story, can even spend the whole year talking about the story of the Samaritan woman. It's such an incomprehensible story where you can get so much from this story. And during this week, when I was looking at the word incomprehensible, and I thought of the letter I, and I thought to give you eight I's of the story of the Samaritan woman. First I is impact. She was impacted by the Lord Jesus. She was surprised that the Lord Jesus would even talk to her. The Jews cannot speak to any Samaritan, and especially when they speak to a woman, that was something very difficult for a Jew man to speak to. And there is where you can see the big difference that the Lord has made to cross that boundary. It was like a social forbidden border that he was able to cross, to go to Samaria by itself and to speak to a woman. That was something never heard of among the Jews. And God did it, telling us in this story that he can impact every one of us if we can just let him to come in. Number two, interpretation. Sometimes we do the wrong interpretation. The Samaritan woman interpreted the Lord Jesus incorrectly at the beginning. And many people tend to miss what the Lord Jesus was saying at first. For example, you may remember the story of Nicodemus, when God told him about how to be reborn. And he thought, how could that be? Should I go back and go inside my mother's womb to be born again? He missed the point. Many times we hear a sermon and we miss the point of the sermon. We miss the message of love of the church that wish everybody to come back to God. Same we did it for the Lord Christ as the Samaritan woman did. Also, as you heard the scripture today, they missed the point when the Lord said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. In the scripture today, they thought somebody brought food for him. They forgot that God is looking at the soul of every one of us to be the spiritual food that God is looking for. Number three, identification. Sometimes we feel it is very difficult for us to be identified as a sinner. And we always talk about the Samaritan woman in a loving way, how God talked to her step by step in an easy way, which is true, and we all agree. But there's something we always miss. What we miss is that God exposed her to be a sinner when he told her that the man you are living with right now is not your husband. So God was telling us, exposing our sins between him and I, and we should be happy and proud to be exposed and identified as a sinner when it comes from God. God did the same for us until now. He tries to help us to expose ourselves as sinners when we sit in a session of confession with our Father of confession. We are supposed to speak about our sins, about our weakness. And sometimes when we go to confess, we confess the sins of others. They did so and so, and they are the reason why I did this mistake. And sometimes you find the priest tell the person confessing, so why not bring that person so we can read the absolution for him? If you keep speaking about him and you are in a session of confession where you are supposed to expose yourself and expose the sin that you are struggling with. because of the, of course, the war with Satan. So if God exposes a sinner, always in secret, taban, between us and him, we should be very happy and be proud and look forward to meet with Abuna for confession. And she took the chance, and right away she told him, you said right. Yes, you are right. The person I have is not my husband. So I wish we learn the same when we come forward and we identify ourselves as sinners, not anybody else. Number four, inquiry. She inquired about authentic worship. The woman had inadequate understanding of worship. Of course, this was a major flashpoint between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans were very selective in their worship. They even selected only the five books that Moses wrote, the Torah, in English, to be the books that they only admit and confess and read. And it is exactly the same five books as we have it in our Old Testament. They only changed a few things, locations, like the, instead of saying where you worship in Jerusalem, you worship on the Mount of Gerizim, to make people satisfied that you don't have to go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifice. But there are five books are exactly the same, there is no difference whatsoever, but they still were missing the point, who is the Messiah and how will he come? They did not know too much about God. Because remember, the five books spoke about creation and how God created the whole universe and how he came and he started this nation called Israel to be his son. And that's it. They did not know much about the prophets or the prophecies that speaks about God, but they heard about the prophecies that a Messiah would be coming. And here is where the big difference. Sometimes we could have our own personal understanding of worship. Here is God, that's how he looks like and how he should be. And when he hears something from the church, he gets shocked. No, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to you, to your understanding, but it is the church teaching that you did not know. And you should give yourself the time and the chance to get to know what God is all about. Please remember something very important we all many times ignore. We feel that God like rejected the temple worship. God never ever rejected the temple worship. He only rejected the fake worship. He did not say it's wrong to go to the temple. No. He said that when you go to the temple, you must worship by your heart and your spirit. That's the major difference that we always miss when we read such stories. Number five, invitation. She started, after she listening to the Lord, she started to invite him in. She recognized that he is the Messiah, but she still had some doubts. And let me share with you this point. There's nothing wrong to have some doubts as long as you ask and you seek an answer for your doubts, but to keep it inside it where it can grow and Satan can plant your doubts to be in such a wrong way, that's where it gets very serious. Come to church, talk to your priest, your father of confession, ask questions. I don't know what that means. Could it mean so and so? Nothing wrong with that. Ask questions. God said, come and ask. At all time, at any time, just come and ask. So nothing wrong to have doubts, but the problem would be to keep the doubts in and do not expose it. Number six, information. She informed her friends about the Lord Jesus, who was so excited about the disruption to her daily life that she left her water pot right there and she hustled back to town, and she was so excited telling the town people, come and see. Exactly same story happened with Philip when he saw Nathanael and he told him, come and see, we have found the Messiah. How many of us, if you really have the true love of God in your heart, when you see someone who doesn't know God, you are asking him to come and see the Lord. Come to church, hear the word of God. Let's read something about God. At home, at work, anywhere. I don't mean to preach at work, I mean, you can't preach by your own physical appearance, the way you look, the way you act, the way you speak, the way you eat, the way you drink. They can see you as a red open Bible. This is a true son or daughter of God. He is true Christian. So how many times do you really do that, or how many times do we put God down in our dress? Especially, I take this opportunity now, we are starting the summer soon. How many of us will go to try to imitate people outside in their dresses? And as you can see, people outside almost undressed, sadly. And many times my children tell me, well, let's go, for example, to buy something from the mall. I said, I will wait in the car. I will never go inside the mall unless something quick and come back. Because what I see inside, really, I guess I forget how it looks like inside shopping malls. It is not the way our children, the children of God, should look like. In the church, for example, we should be completely dressed. Summertime, wintertime, it doesn't matter. There is no sleeveless, short skirt or shorts. And we cover our head when we pray for women. These things should distinguish you from somebody who is not Christian, not God's child. Show God in you. You see a non-Christian outside during the day, they are walking outside having a veil on their head and a scarf. Outside the regular time, the church is not asking all the time, only during worship, as St. Paul said in the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 11. So please watch for this. You represent God. Isn't it true for every dad and mom here that you tell your children when they go out on a trip, represent dad and mom, so behave and watch out for what you say and what you do? You are exactly the same. You are God's child. Also, you must watch for what you say and do and dress because you represent God. Number 7, introduction. She introduced her friends to the Lord Jesus. The town people were initially intrigued by the woman's testimony. Can you imagine a sinful woman who went to tell everybody about Jesus? And they believed her. They listened. In the scripture today, as you heard, it says many believed in him because of what? Because of the woman. Of course, later in verse 41, it says many more believed because of his own word. But because of her, her testimony was very strong. When you speak about God, do you really believe in God or you have a weak witness to God? Well, I'm holding a cup of wine and I speak about God. They don't match. There's a big conflict here between the two. It doesn't match. How could you be speaking about God and you have a cigarette or you have a cup of wine? We talked about this last Sunday and I hope you get a copy from the tape downstairs. So we must be true witness. We introduce everybody to God whom we know like in a very close relationship as a father and as a son. And that's why the last I that I wish to speak about is ignition. She ignited fire when she encountered God. This encounter ignited fire. And she went to preach from that moment on. And as you know, her name is Futna, or Futni means the illuminated, Al-Munira. She went to preach about God in everywhere from that moment on. She did not stop. And she went to ignite the fire of love of God in the heart of everyone she meets and face and talk to. How many of us have that fire ignited in his heart? The love of God in his heart that he can go and deliver the message. Truly believing, not because you have to, not because dad and mom said you must go to church and you must be a deacon today and you must do so and so, because you want to come. It is in your heart, because that's why you do it. You give to church because it is your heart stirring you too, not because of anyone. You give time to church, service to church, anything to church because you want to do it. God respects your free will and he wants you to do it out of your own heart. So do you have this fire of love of God in your heart ignited, or is still like down that you need somebody to ignite it for you? You need to ask yourself these questions, and before you go and ignite the fire of anybody else's heart, make sure that you have your heart is ready and your house is complete. Which brings the last I would like to mention about incomplete. There was a book about, it's called The Paradise of Virtues. written by Abuna Zakaria, a Syriani, and he spoke about a monk, his name Ya'ub, Jacob. And that was an old monk, he was a righteous monk, and everybody loved him. And he went into a coma, and like they felt he died, and they were sitting around him, and they were crying, losing such a great righteous and loving father. Then all of a sudden, he came back, and they were surprised. What happened? We were about getting ready to bury you. He said, short time ago, an angel came, and he was looking such a great light, I couldn't even open my eyes until I focused on him. Then I asked him, is it time for me to go back to heaven? So the angel looked at him and smiled, did not speak. And then he found himself, like there is no ceiling of his cell, it's all gone, and he found himself as if he is in paradise. And he saw many wonderful houses, all of them like big palace, and they are in great shape, and people are so happy and very joyful. And then he found a house that looks so good from the outside, but it's not complete yet. The house, the roof is not on the top, many windows are not still there. So he said, who could leave a house that's incomplete in this such a beautiful neighborhood? So the angel now spoke and told him, this is your house. You still have a lot to do, so go back and work hard to finish this house, and it's ready waiting for you when you finish working on your house. He said, how can I complete the house? The good work that you do right here on earth, that what will build for you a good fortress in heaven. Hisn, kibir, asri kibir, inshallah, in heaven. So work on building that big palace for yourself in heaven, and get ready so when you go to heaven, you have something waiting for you that you build right now, right here on earth, and glory be to God, now and forever. Amen.